Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from Man Camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from the weekend.
I don't know if I want to come up here, because if I come up here, they got to stop. What I love about having Jordan and Stefan with me is if I don't feel like preaching, they'll cover it for me. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's just pray, and we'll open our hearts together. God, thank you for just the privilege it is to be in a group of men who don't have to sound pretty, but to you they just sound good. Because you hear a group of boys that you love, a group of boys that have made mistakes, a group of boys that don't have all the edges smoothed out, but a group of boys that you call your own. As you say, man, I've redeemed them, I desire them, I love them, I will forgive them, I will restore them, I will renew them, I will form and shape my life in them. God, it is just good to be reminded of that. And the gift of song, the gift of voice, to just be able to declare truths that, to be honest, Lord, sometimes we're not feeling it. It's easy to, in a room like this, to say you're worthy of it all, but on Thursday at 10 a.m., we weren't living like that. And no matter what you do this week, to be real honest, by Tuesday at 4, there's a good chance we won't be living like that. And yet you receive. You prompt our hearts to declare truth in just moments of clarity that is just so good for the soul. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the joy, the privilege, the gift, as Eric has already said, to just be here and to get to do all the things that we're going to get to do. All of it's worship, Lord. The eating, the playing, the singing, the receiving your word. It's all worship. It's all to just declare that you are worthy of our focus. You are worthy of our response. And so we pray that we would continue to simply focus on you and respond accordingly. And all God's men said, amen, 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 amen. You can have a seat. All right. You guys all right if I preach this close? I only spit a little bit. I don't like being on stage. I'm big enough anyways. All right. Where's my first timers? Never been to man camp. Show of hands. Man, give it up for these guys. For you fellas, I'm going to be the best man camp speaker you ever heard. All right? Now, for the rest of you guys, how many have had to endure me before? Have you had to endure me before? I'm so sorry. God got you through last time. He'll get you through again. I love man camp. I have the joy. I serve a group of churches, and so I have the opportunity to be in a variety of churches on any given Sunday and open God's word in a variety of contexts. But truth be told, man, I don't know if I enjoy a venue, a group of people, a space to be able to declare God's word in than man camp. It's just my favorite because for whatever reason, literally and metaphorically, you boys show up hungry every time, okay? And it is just easy, it's just easy to teach people who are hungry. Because when you show up hungry, you usually leave full. God just kind of does that, okay? And so if you'll show up hungry, I'll try to do my best to get us in the Word and then let God feed us, and then we'll just leave full. Sound good? Sound like a deal? All right, so my name is Nate, as I said. I'm married to Amanda. You might see her. She's going to go back up to an art show up in Grand Rapids for the day yesterday. I was there all day today. And it's good to be here tonight. Art's her thing. It's not real my thing, okay? But she's happy, I'm happy, right? So we've been married 22 years. Amanda and I have been married 22 years, yeah. Uh-huh. I am a proud, proud, proud card-carrying member of I Married the Way, Way, Way Above Myself Club. Any fellow card members out there, okay? We were married quite a while before the Lord blessed us with our children. We have two boys, Eli and Oliver, 13 and 10. They're here with me, and they did art today too, and they enjoy art, but they decide they just want to hang at man camp with dad the rest of the weekend, okay? Smart boys, smart boys. So we're going to hang out and have a great time this weekend with you. I have been in pastoral ministry. This makes me feel so old. I've been in pastoral ministry since 1995. And I've been working with men in all sizes, shapes, and form in some way or another, directly or indirectly, ever since then. And I've specifically been coming up to Miracle Camp and Man Camp since the mid to late 2000s. And so I like to consider myself kind of an OG of Man Camp. I mean, I've literally attended more than I can count. okay? So I'm just going to kind of give myself that title. And way back in the day, anybody else who's probably been doing man camps at least 10 years or more? Anybody in the room? Okay, all right. Do you remember way back in the day when we used to do like the Miracle Man Challenge on Saturday mornings? Do you remember that? Okay, see? Okay, so it used to be, we haven't done this. Have we done this since you've been in the director role? Okay, so used to, tomorrow morning you're going to get to go and shoot stuff and have all kinds of fun stuff. But back in the early days of man camp, Saturday morning you walk around this little sheet of paper, and I think they called it the Miracle Man Challenge. And it was a series of like 5 to 10 challenges, like pushing the camp's truck and seeing how quick you can push it, like 100 feet, right? Or we literally had like telephone poles that were like cut off like this, and the old caper toss. Nobody had to wear a skirt, but like we used to see how far you could throw that. Flipping the tractor tire. So all these different Miracle Man events. It's also where the tagline that I like to use for man camp came from, all right? The tagline is this: man camp, where men come to play like boys, only to be reminded by the aches and the pains that they are men. All right? And that applies to playing, and that applies to eating. You newbies, and there's a lot of newbies in the room, I say this every time I speak. Men, pace yourselves. You're not going to listen to me. You're going to show up tonight, you're going to be like, our snack is wings, give me some. And then tomorrow you're going to be like, there's bacon, and you're just going to pack it in. I'm telling you, pace yourselves, men. Pace yourselves. You are not the 13-year-old boy you used to be. You're going to feel it. And half of you ain't going to listen. Sunday morning, you're going to be moaning and groaning. I'm going to ask you to stand up one more time. You're going to be like, oh, I'm going to say, I told you. I told you. And by the way, I'll be moaning and groaning too because I don't pace myself either. All right? So anyways, I think that was just kind of a fun thing. We stopped doing that probably for liability or something. But I think that was kind of Miracle Camp's version of the World's Strongest Man competitions. Anybody remember those? Those are still going on. Any World's Strongest Man guys that love watching those? Does anybody still watch them faithfully? Okay, I haven't watched one in a long, long time. But I looked it up. You know, I did all my research. I went to Wikipedia. And I was like, I wonder who the World's Strongest Man is currently. So the World's Strongest Man, I'm probably not even saying his name right, Tom Stottleman. Stoltman, okay. Tom Stoltman is the reigning World's Strongest Man. He won in 2021, 2022. Something happened in 2023, but he won again in 2024. Here's Big Tom. They call the man the Albatross. He is a 6'8", 400-pound 30-year-old from Scotland who can rock the kilt. Can I get an amen? All right? Listen to this. He has deadlifted 901 pounds raw. That means no suit, no straps. He has squatted. That's like put weight on your back and bend down and be able to get back up. I have a hard time doing that without any extra weight on my back these days. He has squatted 862 pounds. He bench presses 490. He holds some specific World's Strongest Men records, perhaps my favorite, the keg toss. I'm sure it's root beer kegs. 33-pound he has thrown a 33-pound keg over a 25-foot wall. I was looking, as I was focused on Jesus and thinking about this big old beast, I was looking, these ceilings might be 15 feet tall, might. Imagine another 10 feet and tossing something that weighs 33 pounds over the top, just for perspective, okay? He also holds the World's Strongest Man record for the Atlas Stone Run. That's where they take these 5 stones that vary in weight, and they, like, pick them up and put them up on these pedestals. And the lightest one is 265 pounds down to the 5th one that's 441 pounds. He gets his arms around, and he gets it up. He did all 5 in 21.5 seconds. And to be honest, if there's anybody on the planet that can rock this t-shirt, it's Tom Stoltman. Check out this t-shirt. I would love to wear this t-shirt. Fit-ish. Works out, but definitely likes donuts. Huh? Huh? I'd wear it if I like to work out, but I only do the donut part. But listen, despite his size, 6'8", 400, despite his raw strength, I propose to you, Tom Stoltman is not the World's Strongest Man. Okay? That title belongs to one man. It'll always belong to one man. His name is Jesus. Yeah. He was and he is the world's strongest man. I mean, just think about it. A, he created it. Kind of got a leg up on Tom on that. In him, it holds together. I told you that Tom holds the record of the Atlas stones. You've all seen the sculpture of Atlas, right? The mythical Greek god Titan that holds the world on his shoulders. I would submit to you this is probably more of a truer picture of Jesus than it is some Greek god. Okay? But Jesus' strength is more than just ontological. It's more than just at the core of who he is. Think about functionally how he demonstrated his strength on earth. I don't know if you've thought about these miracles through the lens of strength before, but the man walked on water. He pressed water below his feet and made it keep himself up. He could be on a tiny little boat in hurricane force winds and simply say, "Peace, be still." And it was a calm, sunny day. He could see a man who was breaking chains and the whole town was scared of him, and he would say, "Flee," and all the demons that filled that man at his word had to leave and jump into a herd of pigs and concave over a cliff. Perhaps one of my favorite, because I just like snarky things, he's walking by a fig tree one day. He's a little hangry. That's what it says in the original Greek. That's not true. And he was hoping for some food, and the fig tree hadn't produced any figs yet. And he just said, "Cursed are you." And at his word, the fig tree withered up. Like, that's strong, man. I don't know. That is a strong man. And yet, at the heart of Jesus' strength, at the center of it, we find perhaps the most surprising, unexpected, and frankly, if we're really being honest, to us as men, unappealing characteristic that exists right next to his strength and at the core of his strength. Because I can say with full confidence and absolute truthfulness that Jesus was at the same time the strongest man to have ever lived and the most submissive man to have ever lived. Just think about what I just said. I don't know how much time we as men give to considering what I'm going to refer to tonight as the submissive strength of Jesus. That is not a topic we spend a lot of time thinking about. And yet, at the core of Jesus' strength was a submissive or a yielding heart. I'm going to use those two terms interchangeably all weekend long. A submissive or a yielding heart. See, in our sessions tomorrow and Sunday, we'll kind of dive into some of the practical dimensions of living with a submissive or a yielding heart. But tonight, I just want to confront us with the strength of Jesus' submissive heart. And so, if you've been up here with me, you know that I like to have you stand, and I like to just kind of have a prayer for the weekend that we pray together before we dive into the Word. And so, I'm going to invite you to do that. It's a simple prayer. I'm just going to invite you to repeat after me, and we'll pray this during every single session as we open the Word together. If you would, just kind of open your hands, just sort of in a receptive posture. Repeat after me. Lord, I have plans.
Lord, I have plans.
Lord, I have preferences.
Lord,
I am filled with fears and desires.
I am filled with fears and desires.
Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Amen.
Amen.
All right, have a seat. Let's start by defining our terms. Functionally, what does it mean to submit? And there's all kinds of different definitions we could have, but here's just a pragmatic one for you. To submit simply means to willingly yield. It's a choice. It's not forced. To willingly yield to the lead of another. Tangibly, if you think through the functionality of submitting, tangibly, it's making oneself second. It's giving deference to someone else. Roundabouts seem to be making a comeback in our country. And so yield signs are starting to pop up. It was getting to the point where you didn't see too many yield signs when you drove. But now, when you see these roundabouts, you don't have to stop. Because let's be honest, when that was a four-corner stop, you didn't stop anyways, right? But now, you can come up and kind of come down to a safe speed and you just yield. And as long as nothing's coming, you can just keep on moving, right? But think about the functionality of what a yield sign means. You just kind of wait. Is it clear? And then you can keep on going. But if it's not clear, you've got to let them go first. Here's the problem. Yield signs seem optional. Yield signs seem unnecessary. Yield signs often go unnoticed, and they often go ignored. But if you ignore them too often or at the wrong time, some major damage is caused. Amen? The same is true when we fail to understand the wisdom and the strength of a yielding heart, of a submissive heart. Now, biblically, to submit or to yield, it means to come under rather than trying to live or lead over. We'll get more into the posture of submission tomorrow morning, but just think about that. It's to come under from, it's to lead from underneath rather than try to lead from over the top. The Greek word for submit is hupotasso. You break that down into two root words, and it literally means under and to place or set. And so if any of you got a Dr. Pepper thing or a Bible, you have hupotassoed it under your chair. Okay, you have submitted it. Functionally, you've just submitted it under your chair. That's all you've done. The problem is we don't like to hupotasso ourselves. Okay? We'd rather hupotasso everybody else and place them or set them under or after us. We like to go first. And perhaps the most problematic thing about submitting and the power of a submissive heart in a room like this filled with American men is that as men, we have been trained, we have been conditioned to see submission through a lens of weakness rather than a lens of strength. I mean, I can say this because there's no women in the room, but frankly, if I would have told you all, hey, we're going to talk about submission this weekend, you would have said, isn't that what you're supposed to speak at ladies' retreat about? Right? This is man camp. This is man camp, and we're going to talk about submission. In fact, just to kind of reinforce how just terribly wrong our culture gets submissive. I was literally preparing this talk, and I was writing this down. I'm like, can I say submissive? Like, I started with yielding. But as I got into yielding, I'm like, no, biblically, that's submission. So as I was typing submissive, I do my stuff in Google. I just right-click submissive. I'm like, I wonder how Google defines submissive as an adjective. And here's what popped up. This is hilarious. Submissive, it's an adjective that describes something. I propose it should describe us as men if we're to be like Jesus. Ready to conform to the authority or the will of others. That's not too bad. But Scripture says somebody doesn't have to have authority for us to submit to them, but we'll get to that. Meekly, obedient, or passive. This is where it just starts to get fun. Submissive, almost sheep-like people. Synonyms. Now, warning, I can't read half of these. I've never heard of half these words, but compliant, yielding, malleable. I think that means soft. Acquiescent, accommodating, amenable, which I think means malleable, which I think means soft. Tractable, manageable, unassertive, non-resisting, passive, obedient, biddable. I have no idea what that means. Dutiful, duteous, docile, ductile, pliant, meek, timid, mild. I'm not making this up. This is just what Google tells me. Patient, resigned, forbearing, subdued, humble, self-effacing, spiritless, deferential, a word I can't pronounce, servile, slavish, self-abasing, here's fun, spineless, groveling, lamb-like, supine, I don't know what it means, and my favorite, boot-licking. What the heck? Way to go, Google. Under someone's thumb. Do you get the point? Does Google like submission? No. Here's the problem with that definition. That is absolutely accurate to how our culture understands what it means to be submissive. But there ain't anything on that list that describes Jesus. And yet Jesus is the most submissive man to have ever lived. So I think Google's got it wrong. I think our culture has it wrong. I think we as men need Jesus, not Google, not Webster's, not our culture, to relearn us, to reteach us, Jesus, what does it mean to be the submissive, strong men you call us to be? And so tonight, don't worry, I'm actually not gonna teach a lot of scripture tonight because I just think this is such a foreign concept. I just want to plant the idea. But I want you to know this isn't Nate's idea, this is Scripture's idea. So perhaps in one of the strongest descriptions, the most vivid descriptions we have of who Jesus is, you're going to see the submissive strength to his core. Go to Philippians 2 if you got your Bibles. Philippians 2, verses 6 to 11. I'm just going to read this. I'm not going to preach through this text tonight, but just read this text and see if you, like me, see the submissive strength of Jesus just leap off the page. Starting in verse 6, who? He's referring to Jesus. Being in the very nature God, okay, there's no weakness here at all, who being in the very nature God did not consider equality with God as something to be used to his own advantage, something to be held on to for himself. Rather, he made himself a strong choice. He made himself, you say it, what? Nothing. By taking on, Not by acquiescing to, not by accepting against his will, by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. The creator takes on the form of the created. Who, by being made in human likeness and being found in an appearance as a man, he humbled himself. There's our word. He lowered. He submitted himself. He huputasoed himself. It's not the exact word that's used, but the derivative's there. By becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So how does God the Father respond? Oh, my weak, sheepish, bootlicking boy. No. Therefore, God, what's it say? Exalted him to the highest place, not a high place, not some record that Tom Stoltman has for a little while till some bigger, better version comes along, to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, who we're still talking about 2,000 years later, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is what? Lord, ruler, strong one, authority, to the glory of God the Father. Can we agree that this passage is a testimony to Jesus' strength? And can we agree that this describes the submitting, submissive, yielding heart of Christ in all of its totality? That as creator, the God-man becomes servant-oriented and sacrifices himself for all mankind. Is this not what makes Jesus so strong? Is this not the reason that for those of us in this room, and not everybody in this room has come to this choice that, and that's okay. That's what I love about Man Camp. You can be anywhere on that continuum of been following Jesus for a long time, and you're not quite sure how you even got duped to be at Man Camp because you're not sure what this whole Jesus thing is all about and what this big bald preacher's talking about, okay? And you're going to have a great time this weekend. I can guarantee you, I have been to Man Camp with so many men who, when we go home, they're like, I didn't know you could have so much fun without alcohol. That's just been the testimony of countless men that I brought to Man Camp, okay? So wherever you're at of that spectrum, don't worry about it for now. Jesus will deal with that. But for those of us who have crossed that line, for those of us who have said, you know what, Lord, I don't want to wait until every knee will have to bow. I don't want to wait until every tongue will have to confess. I am choosing, as I see who Jesus is, I'm choosing now to bow my knee. I'm choosing now to confess with my mouth that he is Lord of all, and as we already sang, men, worthy of it all, right? Worthy of it all. But what I want you to see is part of why you think he's worthy of it all is he submitted himself on your behalf. He submitted himself to you. He put your needs ahead of his own. He saw that you needed something that you could not and would not do for yourself. And so he let your need go first and followed you in all of his strength to do for you what you could not do for you. He was a submissive Savior. We don't think about the submission of Jesus, but it's all over the place. But here's the thing. Here's the good news that everyone in here right now, tonight, might be tempted to see is not so good news. The submissive strength of Jesus is not just something that we're to acknowledge or admire or say amen to. It's something that's been made available to us that we're to receive and that we're to embrace for ourselves. See, men, every single one of us is invited. Every single one of us is called to welcome the strength of Jesus' submissive spirit, the power of his yielding heart into our own. That we wouldn't just say, yeah, Jesus, you can submit or yield to me, but I would like you to take up residence in me and teach me how to yield and submit to you and to others. In fact, that's why Paul gave the Philippians this powerful description of Jesus. Look at the verses that came before, and I'm going to take about the same amount of time to go through them as I did 6 through 11. Look at 1 through 5. Therefore, if you have any encouragement, he's talking to the church in Philippi, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you have any comfort from his love, If anything common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. Whose mind does Paul want us to be like? Jesus's. I don't get more like-minded by trying to think more like Jordan. Jordan and I get more like-minded, not by trying to think like each other, but by both trying to think like Jesus. And the more we both think like Jesus, the more we become like-minded to each other. You got that? Be like-minded. Having the same love, whose love? Jesus' love. Being one in spirit and one of mind, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, there's that darn hupotasso word again, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each looking to the interests of others. And then here's the phrase, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And I won't bore you with all the details. The NIV is a wonderful translation, but they know that their audience is English speakers. And so sometimes when the Greek gets tricky, they don't go word for word. They'll just kind of try to put it in a phrase so that it makes sense to us. And that 99% of the time does it really well. But in this particular verse, I don't think it does it justice, because in the ESV, here's what it says, which can be hard to read, but it's a little more of a word for word translation. It says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. See, we don't just look at Jesus and say, wow, I wish I was more submissive like you. I'll look to your example and work to be more like you. No, men, that won't cut it. The only way we can have the mindset of Jesus is if we receive his. Because there ain't nothing about Nate that wants to submit to anybody. There's nothing about my heart that thinks submission is a good idea. There's nothing in my heart that wants to acknowledge that there's something strong about a yielding heart. The only one who gets that is Jesus. And so the only way we can get it is if we receive it from him and in him. You following me? See, central to being in Jesus is allowing Jesus to be in us. Letting his mind become our mind. Letting his attitude to begin to define and refine our attitude. Letting his actions start to overtake our natural inclinations and reactions. Christ in you, Paul says to the Colossians, is the hope of glory. It's not just believing in Jesus and acknowledging some things. It's saying, Jesus, take up residence in here and come fully as you are in all of the strength of your submissive self. and transform my mind, my attitude, my actions to be like yours. And so again, men, we're going to look at some of the specifics tomorrow, but for tonight, this is where I want to end. Here's the deal. Jesus knows you're reluctant to this. He knows this sounds strange. He knows this sounds unappealing. He knows why you're all looking at me with that confused face that half of you are looking at me with. Because trust me, I've had the confused face for the last month as I've been working on this. Like, really, Lord? I'm going to go up to like 100, 150 dudes and tell them that they need to be more submissive? Are you kidding me? No, you're going to go up and you're going to invite them to be more like me. So men, he knows our struggle. He knows where we're fighting with him on this. He and he alone knows. So I'm going to end with prayer tonight. I'm going to invite you to go to your groups. And then I just want you to just talk about the struggle of this. What seems right? What seems new? What seems off? And just invite men to pray for you as we sort of wade into some new territory together. Does that sound good? But instead of me just praying for you and you listening to me pray on your behalf, a lot of prayer is listening. Too often we think prayer is talking. And so humbly, I am going to, as I've been in prayer, and this is scary for me, but I'm going to try to speak on Jesus' behalf. And I want you to listen as you pray to what I think he wants to tell you tonight, okay? So if you will, just close your eyes. I'm not going to get weird, but I'd like you to imagine him looking you in the eye right now. Whatever that picture does to your mind, just picture Jesus sitting right in front of you right now, looking at you eye to eye. I want you to notice the strength and the compassion in his eyes as he looks to you. And I want you to hear his voice speak directly to you as if there's no other men in this room. Son, you can trust me on this. I have something I want to show you this weekend. I have something I want to give you. I want you to know this about me. There is a strength to my submissive heart that I want to give you. I want you to experience the power and the freedom of living with a yielded heart towards me and towards others. Will you accept it? Will you accept me? Even if you're not ready yet, will you start to wrestle through this mindset of submission with me? Remember, I'm for you on this. Amen. It's 9:26. Snacks start at 9:30, but they go till 11, which means you have plenty of time. And remember, you're going to have food all weekend long. So no need to drag it out tonight, but no need to rush it either. Take 15, take 20 minutes at least with your guys that you came with. Use the few questions I threw your way, or feel free to just react however whoever wants to step up and lead the discussion. And then we can do tonight's activities and stay up way too late because, hey, it's time to play like boys, right? All right, amen? Go to your groups.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's Man Camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.